Cool. Tim, when does your heart stop? Like 115, 130? I could probably stretch it to 130.
Yeah, I thought you said, when does your heart stop?
Yeah, when does your heart stop? How much coffee have you had? Hello and welcome to episode 219 of the Erasable Podcast. Big shout out to the Region Rats in Northwest Indiana. That was the area code of growing up.
Of course,
219. So I was excited when I saw that was the episode number. So back to the 219. Still remember all my phone numbers.
It's funny.
The 219 days.
It's 219. I was in 260, which was once 219. And then also we're talking about Blackwing 574, which is one of the other Indiana zip codes.
Yeah.
Or area codes.
Yeah.
Area codes. Yeah.
It's a very Indiana area code, Dan.
Andy, Donnie, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. It's nice to see your face.
There.
Yeah, we'll see each other.
Yeah, we're recording video on Zoom. So if you are a Patreon member, you can go and watch the Zoom of this episode on Patreon. So if you're not, then you should just go sign up to be a Patreon member at like, you know, $1 a month or whatever, and you should be able to see this.
Yeah, and you can guess which one of us is naked. It's not me.
Yeah, it's not me, Tim. Not it.
From the waist down, we're talking. Man.
That's true. I mean, we all waist down, of course.
It's like pants check. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. This is a Zoom call after all.
Yeah, cool. Today, we're going to be doing some late autumn fresh points. We got some new releases that have come out and some just kind of fun things to talk about. But before we do that, let's do tools of the trade. And Johnny, pretty much starts it.
So I don't think our political leanings on this show are a secret. So, you know, it's been a rough couple weeks. And I find myself, Spotify keeps throwing angsty 90s rock music at me. Even though I'll put on something way different. And then, you know, when it's finished, what you're listening to, it'll start playing something. It'll be like, hey, you want to listen to Soundgarden?
Yeah. Of course I do.
The world's falling apart. I'm listening to Soundgarden. But by choice, I've been listening to a lot of a Scottish band called Arab Strap. Have you guys heard of these? They sort of went away and came back.
I heard of them from you last episode where we looked at the meaning of Arab Strap.
Yeah, I'm like on a deep dive like over and over again. I think I've memorized their latest album, which has an F word in it, so I won't say it. But so good. Like his lyrics are just amazing. And it makes me want to kind of drum machine, make some music. But I've also been obsessed with, you know, the usual stuff, Birthday Massacre, The Cure. But for viewing, did you guys see Gangs of London? It's on Netflix right now. So my dad let me watch First Blood when I was like 5. So like violence in shows doesn't bother me, but this is the most violent show I've ever seen in my life. It's like completely crazy. Like it opens where he sets someone on fire and lets him fall off a building.
Oh, Lord.
Slow motion. And he's like, what choice did I have? I'm like, whoa. So it's very, like, it's not for the faint of heart, but it's so good. And evidently season 3 is going to come out at some point. But a lot of the acting is very good. It has the guy who played John in Peaky Blinders, which if you haven't watched, you should watch. But he actually wasn't that good in it. He was good in that Holocaust movie that was on, or Holocaust series that was on Disney Plus and Hulu. One Small Light. Like, he was super good on that. On this one, he's kind of chewing it up a little bit. But also, his brother is Andy's doppelganger. If you were, like, balding and, like, I don't know, 40 pounds heavier.
Especially what? Well, season 2, like, just for another 10 years.
It was really freaky. I was like, oh my God, it's Andy. Frank is like, yeah, that's creepy. I should have sent you some pictures.
Okay, what's the show called again?
It's called Gangs of London.
Gangs of London. And what's the guy's name?
I forgot what his name is. He's his brother.
Okay.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
He has like big brown eyes, very dark hair.
Yeah.
He's very tall.
Gonna look this guy up.
He's a good character, too.
Yeah.
If you're a BritBox fan, you should watch The Tower, which just came out season 3, just also so damn good. And Gangs of London and The Tower both share an Irish actor who was also in Peaky Blinders, who is our friend Chris Roth's doppelganger.
Oh.
It's like really freaky.
That's so like,
it's all been deja vu, and you know, you haven't been sleeping because the election. And it's like, what? Chris?
We all have secrets.
When you said The Tower, I was like, my brain, because it's my brain, took me on this like wild ride of like towers, faulty towers. But like, it would be funny if it was like a remake, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So it was, and I was gonna like,
gritty faulty tower remake.
Faulty towers.
It is gritty.
It's like lots of violence and like.
Have I either of you seen Faulty Towers like recently? I feel like
I've
it does not hold
up. College.
Can't imagine. Well, we all have a secret British doppelganger out there, apparently.
I don't. I need to find him.
I bet you do. You just haven't gotten deep enough into BritBox yet.
I don't know, man. There are only like 30 actors.
If he hasn't gotten deep enough into BritBox.
Nobody has.
There's only 30 actors. There's only 75 actors in Britain.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I've seen all of them. So my other guilty pleasure for, I guess this counts as viewing, is hiding in video games with my kids. And then we played Roots of Pacha, but we got so far it got boring. And then we got Graveyard Keeper, which is so creepy.
That looks really
fun. Delightful. But as soon as we got that, a couple days later, Stardew Valley's update came out.
Mm.
So we've all been playing probably 2 or 3 hours of Stardew Valley every day. Since then.
You're just leaning into the cozy games.
Yeah. But, you know, with the update, there's a lot of new stuff, new festivals, new animals, new crops. I'm going after a different person for my marriage in this one than the last time. So to wrap it up, I've just been reading a lot of like bookbinding guides, including this really cool one on Japanese paper craft that also teaches you how to make like cool envelopes and stuff, but not origami, like, or to say like useful things. And I just started a book by Mary Louise Kelly, who's on NPR's All Things Considered. She wrote a book about the kids getting ready to leave called It Goes So Fast, the story, The Year of No Do-Overs.
No.
So.
I bet you're just like.
Well, I bought it, according to Amazon, way over a year ago. And I have been like, every morning would look at it, I'm like, not reading that. Nope.
Not ready for it. Not ready for it.
Here, the world's already, you know, falling apart right now. So I'm taking a break from laughing at parts of the news to read this book.
Yeah.
And it's very good. She's a great writer, obviously. But yeah, it's one of those things where if you're going to read it before your kids leave, so you can hug them. So otherwise, you can just cry a lot. And don't read it at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not writing with her much lately. I'm not keeping notebooks like I should because I'm hiding in Stardew Valley. But I just filled the Levenger True Writer Select in Bordeaux, which is like big and it has a magnetic clip or a cap, which is cool, but it's not selling. So people mustn't like them with diamine oxblood in it. It's because the narwhal pen I have isn't working right. But if you guys could see this.
Oh, yeah. That's a really satisfying click.
Yeah. I'm just nice. Chugging through my yellow bullet journal and using my own little notebooks that are, if you look this up on Google, cross structure binding, it's really cool. I've been making out of old file folders from the US government. So they look really like old and some from a spy movie.
Is it those like that paper? I can't remember what it's called, like, not particle board, like.
Yeah, it has like kind of like just a really interesting kind of marbled pattern of fiber in it.
Some of them are old personnel folders that my dad used for our Boy Scout troop like 35 years ago. So like they were little pieces of paper with people's names typed in a typewriter and glued on.
Yeah.
But those were brown and like, it's really cool. It's too much fun.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody gets a notebook. But that's all I got going on here. So how about you, Andy?
What about me? I've been reading a lot lately. I just finished a book that's been out for a few years that I kind of forgot about then picked up again called The Terraformers by Annalie Newitz, who's one of my favorite writers. And it's a science fiction book. And it's about a far-flung future world where people are terraforming planets and there's like this.
Where everybody lives on islands.
Yeah.
You have to like harvest fruit.
Yeah, and then sometimes
isn't that a part of Animal Crossing?
And then there's this raccoon that just like fleeces you every month.
Yeah,
so it's like mob boss Randy
runs the chair.
Yeah, no. So it's just this far flung future book, and it's a little bit about
anti-capitalism, and it's a little bit about like urban planning, and it's also a little bit about alien species, which is kind of fun. So yeah, been really finished that. I didn't realize it was going to be such a quick read. Tim, on your recommendation, I read Song for the Wild Bill.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was so good. It's one of those, like, it just makes you feel good to read it. Like the idea that there is a future where, you know, capitalism isn't a thing. And like, if you just want to go off into the woods and like make tea and make people feel good for having tea, like you can just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such like an interesting kind of slow burn book where
it
doesn't move very fast, but like some pretty big things. And it's like almost like the more you think about what's not in the book, the more interesting it gets, where you're like,
it's like science fiction, My Dinner with Andre, because a lot of it is just the conversation between him and his robot. And it's, so I have the second one that you just read kind of up on cue. So check that out. Yeah. So like, it went really fast. It must be a pretty short book. I got it on Kindle, so I can't see
it. It's like 125 pages, which is a little novella. Yeah. Little thing.
Yeah.
Both of them are.
And it's just, it's like, I think you said this already, but it's a future where like robots gain awareness and sentience, and they're like, thanks, we're going to go off out of the factories and do our own thing. And what I really like about it isn't like the Matrix or the Terminator or something where there's a war then. It's just like the humans are like, oh, cool, okay, well, good luck and have fun. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, like, what do? We probably shouldn't do that again. So it's like humans respond in
a very... they actually fix stuff.
Yeah. And there's something that feels... nice and reassuring about that. It's a very cozy read, I guess. Like, you know, you got cozy games, you got cozy reads.
Felt like a good cozy read. So that's a book that festered. Like, I just kept thinking about it after it finished. I kept was like, because it's like they do sort of fix things, but also they're still humans.
Yeah.
And so they're still like, in the second one, like you interact with like a wider variety of people at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, people are still kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Missed the point, you know.
Still humans.
But at least they've like, they sort of righted the ship a little bit.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones in there. So
with that, I'm also just started, this is really nerdy, it's another like small one, but it is a biography of a typeface about Comic Sans. So I'm going to read the history of Comic Sans.
That's amazing.
Which, you know, I've always, and the internet really likes to kind of like crap on Comic Sans, because it's like, you know, a lot of people use it just for, you know, they're like, put it along with like some word clip art or whatever. Like, it's just not a very fancy typeface. But one thing
elementary school teacher typeface.
Yeah. One thing I've learned is it's really accessible for people with dyslexia, because it's not symmetrical, right? Like, it's easy to just pick out the P's and the Q's look different enough where like there's like, it's easy to just grok them. So that's kind of cool. I'm going to read more about that when I get into it, but.
Did I ever tell you, I got an alarm clock for my wedding that was in Comic Sans, the whole thing.
Really?
It like wasn't, no, it was made by GE, and all of the labeling on it was in Comic Sans.
Oh, wow.
It was a really good alarm clock, too.
When I worked for PencilThings.com, my first sort of like pencil blogging thing, remember that website, Pencil Things, and I ran their blog, and he made these really nice custom Faber-Castell Perfect pencils, and they were really nice. They looked really nice, except the Pencil Things logo was in Comic Sans on there. I was just remember being like, come on.
But maybe, you know, maybe he was just,
you know, trying to help people with their dyslexia. So, yeah. So, going to read that. Looks really interesting. Seems like a nice follow-up to The Notebook, which was, by the way, we've gotten a lot of really good feedback about that episode. So, if you all don't follow, if you don't follow Rolly Allen on Instagram, you should. It's notebook_historian. He posts a lot of like funny things. Like, he had a friend who got a Pentel mechanical pencil like label tattooed on his arm, and I posted that. That's pretty good. I've been watching on TV kind of a lot of anime lately. I was never really an anime kid, so I haven't watched much of it, like Japanese animation. My girlfriend is into anime, though, and so we watched a live-action movie of City Hunter, which is an old anime from the 80s. It has very, like 1980s, like, Tokyo vibes. It's kind of like John Wick if he was just, like, in Tokyo the whole time and was also, like, a little, like, weirdly juvenile-y horny, which is weird. It's a weird kind of thing that they brought over.
But yeah, it was pretty good. There was some like kung fu and some interesting gunplay, which is usually a little more violent than I like to get, but good story. And then also been watching this like, it's a remake of an anime called Ranma One Half. And it is about a kung fu guy who is studying in like the countryside of China. He's Japanese, and he falls into a mysterious pool of water. And all of a sudden, whenever like it transforms him into a girl, and he kind of like is like a man unless he gets doused with water, in which he turns into a girl until he has hot water poured on him, in which case he goes back to a boy, which is a weird, it's like just a weird kind of like gender bending, especially for Japan, which is like very kind of like rigid there. They just like, and hijinks continue. And his father fell into a different pool, and his father turns into a panda when he gets wet and turns back into a man.
Yeah, same.
So it's really goofy and fun, and there's a lot of like that very kind of over the top like anime like acting. There's like what? Like kind of stuff.
Yeah. So
I'm so glad we're on video today.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to see that if you're not on Patreon
or my co-host.
So yeah, and I am drinking. I'm actually drinking tea today. I've been trying to drink tea more lately. I've been, for various reasons, I've had some anxiety, and I just coffee is a little much sometimes. So I've been drinking a really strong, it's a Portland breakfast tea that I got when I was in Portland from just a cool like local tea place. So.
Is Stash in Portland?
I don't know.
I mean, they're like a big company, but
there's a lot of tea things in Portland. There's
the one, this one, is it Stephen Smith? Joseph Smith?
Something Smith. It's a man's name, Smith. And yeah, it's really good. They're based in Portland. Yeah, lots
of... Think of it as a coffee city.
I mean, lots of coffee in Portland too, but apparently lots of tea. Portlanders love their caffeine, so... And I'm writing with... I'm not going to show it yet. I'm going to give you a reveal later during the fresh points, but I'm writing with a Blackwing 574 in my Baron Fig Confidant, which like, I don't think I've ever actually shown off this amazing cover that Johnny made me. It looks really good.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's that, what's the name of this paper, Johnny?
Craftex. It's like a
so durable, and yeah. I put a erasable sticker, the Ali Sarah erasable sticker.
It looks awesome.
It just looks really good in here. So,
Owen's embroidery has gotten so good, he could probably embroider you the erasable logo.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I was wondering, if
Patreon gift? Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I was also wondering, could we, because when I saw it at first, this is what I thought it was seeing. Could we make an erasable logo brand? Well, like
Landing iron?
Would it work on that surface? Like burn it into the front?
Or would you just
bottle. Catch fire and burn down.
He's probably blind to it.
Yeah.
But it's not very thick, so it doesn't hold very well.
We could also make embroidered patches and just like sew those on.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
FX is everything resistant.
Yeah.
Everything heat. Not fire.
Fire.
Yeah.
I checked.
I've also been loving the new, I think we talked about this last time, or maybe, I can't remember if we did. The new field notes that have the little birds on it. I love the feeling of this cover stock. It's really pebbly and nice. So
did you get the stickers with the sub pack?
Yes, I did.
So I mean, I love the notebooks. When I got the stickers, I was like giddy. I think these are so cute. I didn't realize that they were going to be so detailed and cut out.
Yeah, they're really good. So that is me. How about you, Tim?
Well, let's see. So I've been reading a book that actually like kind of feels like related in some way to Psalm for the Wild Build, or maybe it was like a book that it's like a storyline that happened, I don't know, 50 years before that, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it doesn't line up because there's not like as much robot stuff, but it's like by Lee Anger, who wrote, he wrote this book called Peace Like a River, which was got some attention, and then he started writing these like mystery novels that I can't find, that I need to find now, because I found out he was writing them with his brother, It's a series of mystery novels, and the main character is a retired baseball player, like a professional baseball player. And I was like, oh, fun. But
I can't find them
because they're out of print. They're all like, you know, see if I can track down like a PDF or something. But he has a newer book out. Well, she don't know how new it is, but it's called I Cheerfully Refuse. And it's a book about the main character's name is Rainy, and it's like not a not too distant future kind of story where like illiteracy has become like the norm and government is super big and powerful.
That's so sort of unrealistic.
Yeah. And so I don't want to spoil too much of it, but just like sort of like tragedy strikes and he's like forced to escape. And so he ends up taking a boat across Lake Superior, this like old sailboat. And he just kind of like navigates through that area. And he's like trying to find someone. And his writing is really beautiful. I'm trying not to get away, but it's a really cool book. And it was recommended to me by my buddy Jason, because I had told him about a song idea I had. And it was like, one of the things in the song was like, there was like a line about this side of Lake Ontario. And he's like, oh, there's a book about Lake Superior. Like it's that Leif Anger guy. Cause he had told me about the other book too. So I'm reading that and really enjoying it. I'm not super far into it, but I've got it on my Scribe and just started it a few days ago. I feel like the fiction bug is coming back. I've got like, I hadn't read much fiction for like well over a year, really. I think the last fiction book that I just like plowed through was when I read Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That was a while ago.
Maybe you want a little escapism in this day and age.
Maybe something like that. Yeah. So I've got like three going on at once. That's like, I think the one that's going to, I'm going to finish first. But I also started the new Ron Rash book, which I'll talk about another time. It came out with the new novel. And then I've got that second book from the robot series that you were just talking about
as well.
So yeah. So reading that, I Cheerfully Refuse, which I love the title.
It's a good title.
Been watching a lot of Premier League soccer for the first time ever, which has been, and because my son is just obsessed with soccer. And so I got pulled into rooting for MLS teams because it was like the season and there's a team in Nashville. And that was just fun.
Down now, as a cool team, as a baseball guy, is that making you sad or are you just happy that he's like into some kind of like sports get into?
No.
Okay.
No, I love it. And he enjoys watching baseball too, but soccer, you love to play it. And Indiana was just basketball.
Yeah. Players.
I never touched a soccer ball. Never. And so it finally clicked where I can like watch it, really enjoy it. And then we got to the end of the MLS season and it was like kind of a bummer. And then realized that a lot of the Premier League games were on Peacock. You can watch them on there. And I was like, I'll watch one of those and turn it on. I was like, ooh, that's what soccer looks like. But you guys are so good. Oh my God. And so I had to pick a team, which was based on almost zero logic, but I've adopted AFC Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Because they call their fans are called the Cherries. And I thought that was funny. And also it just reminded me of AFC Richmond. And I had to pick a team from the middle. Like I can't pick a crappy team. I can't pick a good team. I'll pick somebody.
So. I was going to ask if Henry has watched Ted Lasso, but like, it's not,
no, the language. He's not. Language is a little,
he's
something.
Been asking, but we haven't. He doesn't know since then. So like, be a goldfish. We say that a lot. We'll told him that's from Ted Lasso. So been watching that. And a couple of things that I'm listening to, they just reissued. I was having like a really crappy day like a couple weeks ago. So it was before.
Maybe like Wednesday, the
6th. It was still before that. I was just having like a crummy day for like no reason in particular. It was just kind of in a funk. And I turned on Amazon Music and played something and it just like automatically played something after the song that I put on. And it was a Tom Petty song that I didn't recognize. Wait a second. Like it's a Tom Petty song. Like, why don't I know this? But I love this song. So I started listening. Let's do it. I looked it up. It's an album called Long After Dark, which somehow I had just like skipped over for years and years. I'd never really listened to. It has like You Got Lucky on it, some of the big songs, but hadn't listened to the album. But this is probably why the algorithm gave it to me, is that it was just reissued, like a deluxe version was just reissued by his estate, and it's a really cool collection. And then I'm still just obsessed with listening to Sturgill Simpson's new stuff. Like his live band is the greatest band I've ever heard in a live setting. Like they're so cool. So I got a Nugs.net description or a subscription still, just so that I can listen to all of their, like, every concert from this tour. I've been listening through them all, start to finish. This band is incredible. But yeah, that's me. And I've been using Blackwing Volume 4 again. I pulled some of those leaf guys out.
Those are
old favorite. Yeah. Love that. And then when we did the episode about, we were talking about the digital writing, I had put some ink in my Pilot Metropolitan that I hadn't used in probably a year.
I have that color.
With the italic nib.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded of why I used it so much when I was using fountain pens a lot, because it's like such like an idiot proof fountain pen. And I love the little refill.
I need to get an italic nib.
They sell them now with the italic nib for them. You used to have to buy like the Plumix or whatever, the Pilot Plumix, and then like swap the nib over. But now you can buy them with the italic. It's a great small, medium italic. It's like more fine italic, like the big Twisby giant italic, like a medium.
So the difference between stub and italic is that one of them is sort of squared off and one of them has the corners of the point rounded. Like, which is which?
Italic, I thought, was the hard one. I thought, but I could be wrong. Because, stub is definitely like a stub nib tends to be like fatter, like if you look at it from the side. But I could totally be wrong. But this is really fine.
I might Google it while we're on video.
Just like,
Wait, hold the presses.
All right, let's talk about some new stuff. So, Johnny, why don't you go first?
Sure.
How's your Googling?
Yeah, you can't see that. The Made in Baltimore store is you guys are familiar with Baltimore's famous Inner Harbor. It might get like another disappointing news of the election is that it might get redeveloped and be a private thing and like disappear, blah, 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 blah. But now there's the Made in Baltimore store where they have, in addition to my stuff, like all this awesome stuff from this.
Did you take us there?
No, it wasn't there.
Okay.
It's usually seasonal. And then lately they're just like, they have a lease at Harbor Place.
Hmm.
So it's like a really big space. There's like jewelry, food. There's some really cool tote bags I want to pick up. But like, if you're anywhere near Baltimore, you should totally check it out because it's also right next to the German Christmas Village. So you can get some spiced wine, walk over.
Get some Lindkuchen.
I don't know what that is.
Sarah, that's a German spiced cookie for Christmas.
Ooh.
Yum. It's lunchtime. Yeah, if you're, in Trim City or in the East Coast, it's definitely worth a trip. They have a lot of cool stuff there besides my notebooks and a lot of notebooks besides my notebooks, including Drama Mama, who was at the Penn Show. They do a lot of like laser cut wood covers, but like some of them are really intricate. They look so awesome. And so I think I'm stealing this from Andy because he sent us a link yesterday for Field Notes' new dream journals. And I'm a sucker for dream journals. So it's a 3-pack that come in these 3 colors that are related to, what is this company called? East Fork, which is
Asheville.
Yeah, it's a ceramics place in Asheville. And their 3 colors are In the Pines, Some Kind of Wine, and Big Sky. So those are the 3 colors of notebooks.
And are the layouts inside different? Like, are they doing something like a guided journal like that? Or is it just still?
I think they're just lines.
Okay.
But but they did do like a double hit at the top, the 2 lines of matching. They match the cover. If that makes sense. And they say it's a blue mug, but they show a picture also of the other 2 colors. So I don't know what color is coming, but I'm seeing that they're sold out of the packs. So you can buy the notebooks or you can go to East Fork Pottery's website and buy the mugs. But it's not a cheap mug.
It was $55, I think, for the mug and the 3-pack.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't own a lot of or any $40 coffee mugs, but I'm glad to get this one because it looks good. And it's a good cause. And you can also add $10 onto your purchase for the emergency fund for the employees of the company. Since, unless you live under a rock, you saw what happened in Asheville.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. I'm looking at the website right now. Field Notes will sell you the notebooks.
Oh, just the notebooks.
Yeah. they're, you know, normal price, $15.
Yeah, get a really nice mug too.
Yeah, you're a subscriber, you get 15% off, which I forgot about until I went to check out.
Oh, you're like, oh, this is sweet.
Yeah. Good to remember that.
I was like frantically Googling because
I think this is, so do you remember the story?
Yeah, it is. Oh my God, that's crazy.
So eSpork, I didn't read the stuff about like eSpork, but do you know who it's owned by? Did they talk about that? So I don't know if you remember this, but last year we were at an apple orchard. And I told that story about how there was this guy and we're like, why are these people walking up to him? Like he's a celebrity. Like, I don't understand like who this, I'd recommend, he looked like he could be in like the Lumineers or something. Cause it's Asheville, but I
forget how I figured it. Oh yeah. I had overheard the conversation. They were talking about pottery and like, oh, we're big fans of yours or whatever. Looked it up.
The owner of it is the grandson of Henri Matisse.
Right.
Another reason to come to Baltimore. At the BMA, they have their Matisse Center.
Uh-huh.
Like, interesting. Most of his very good paintings.
So he just went and
made a pottery company.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina. And he said like he wanted to start somewhere where like his name, I read somewhere, like somewhere where his name wouldn't like dictate people's like, now I'm ruining that because I'm telling everybody who he did. Still, like they didn't mention it in the information, but yeah, he's the grandson of Matisse, who's my wife's favorite painter. I have a painting of his back there. Not an original.
Oh, so seriously?
I was going to say, that would be.
Yeah.
You guys definitely can come to Baltimore and see the cone collection.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and this guy.
You can come too.
Yeah. Tim and I are going to meet up in Baltimore. Well, we'll maybe let you know if we have time.
You can so you. All right.
We'll meet you for a month.
Any other fresh points, Johnny?
Well, I guess the first thing I should talk about is, it's funny, like, as we've been recording, Blackwing has sent out the email announcing the Blackwing 574 theme, but I actually got mine in the mail on Sunday, and I was, that doesn't usually happen, even though I'm, like, pretty close to Stockton where they ship. I usually don't get my stuff until after it comes out, but we can talk about the 574 now, and I really like it. So this is the Blackwing. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can see what I'm doing right now, but it's a pencil. It's a firm lead and it is kind of like a cream colored base. And there's like an orange and a dark red, like maybe diamond pattern. And it's really hard to see. I don't think that it'll show up on camera, but the diamond patterns are lined by like a very thin gold line. So looks really nice. It is a roll-on. And the seam, they have managed to make the seam though, so it like lines up with the edge. So this is the seam running right through. So it isn't like breaking a pattern or anything, which is really nice. The theme is, it is the Native American art pencil. So 574 comes from, it's 574 nations that use it to assert agency and identity, art. So 574 different like indigenous nations use art to assert agency and identity. Not quite sure where that number comes from. It's interesting. Blackwing worked with the Kaw, the Osage, and Lakota artist Chris Papon to design this pencil, which is really cool. Yeah, so it's really nice. It is. And then it has like a little red eraser on it. So I wouldn't say that this is like groundbreaking or anything, but I like the design. I like the story behind it. I think it's kind of well executed.
Yeah.
Did you sharpen that with the Blackwing sharpener?
Oh, I sure did. I sharpened it with my little guy.
I can't remember if I told you I lost my black one. That was the original. So as soon as this one came out,
the silver one. The one stage sharpener, I bought that. So that's actually one of my favorite sharpeners. I like the Masterpiece a lot, but I don't think I showed you since we're on video here. When I went to Seattle and I met Ali Sara and everything, he let me play with his Elcasco and man, I keep hitting my microphone. Look at this. Look at that good point. It's hard to see. It's the Elcasco long point is very tapered on the end. Gosh, it's so nice.
That's wild.
Yeah.
This is a Black Lung 25. If only
what I need to.
Oh God, we have to talk about
the Black Wing pencil cap. The $50 pencil cap.
You wait.
Now see, for less money, you can buy a mug that is functional from.
Yeah, you can drink coffee from it or
put pencils in.
Anyhow, yeah, so.
There's a trophy on the ceiling.
Drink coffee.
I'll never get sick of that inside June. Okay. Yeah, good. Sick.
Drink coffee. You can drink tea. You can drink Arabic milk. Coffee. You can drink Robusto coffee. Kool-Aid.
Like the water.
Right in your veins.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the 574. I like it. It is, I think if I had to choose
just based on aesthetics, my favorite volumes edition in the last like year or so, I think I would still choose the Golden Gate Bridge ones. Like, I think it just is just visually very stunning. It reminds me a lot of the volume 4, Tim, that you're using. Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah,
this one I think looks a lot better than the.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that. This is the Frank Lloyd Wright one. And sorry, I should be talking because this is a pod. This is an audio podcast. Most people can't see this. I do like the stripe that they put on.
Yeah,
on this one, on the Frank Lloyd Wright one. But
that red gets that, you know, that color I've talked about with fountain pen ink, where I was like always searching for the red M&M color.
For mm-hmm.
That's like that. I like that. Red color on the side, on the inside of the pencil.
That is really good. It is like deep. And yeah, it's hard to see, but that gold really like just kind of makes it look a little extra fun. So that is that. I also wanted to mention, so something that has been picking up steam lately, you know, I'm a sucker for a niche social network, and I have actually been on Blue Sky for quite a while. I actually looked, I was the 475th like user of Blue Sky, which I think means that I signed up the first day. But since the election and since the owner of X has been so involved in national politics lately, there's been a lot of people leaving Twitter/X. And Blue Sky has been a really interesting place to see them go to. So one of the things I really like about Blue Sky is it has these things called starter packs. And you can basically curate a list of people, maybe in a theme or something, and then share them with subscribers or share them with people, and you can sign up using it. And basically you can batch follow people, so you can have sort of an instant network. So I made a starter pack for a bunch of like content design people out there. I'm thinking about putting together a starter pack of like stationary people, because both Anna and Brad are on there. I'm sure Mike Hurley is there too. So if you are on Blue Sky and you're a listener of the show and somehow involved in stationary, like let me know. I'd love to add you to an analog stationary starter pack. It has early Twitter vibes. It has like 2012 to 2015 Twitter vibes, which is something I really like. And I hope they can keep, they're doing a pretty good job of like moderation tools. They actually, there's a few really good ones where people will make like, so you can do starter packs, but you can also do these like packs of like people you can block. So let's say you wanted to block everybody who like has hashtag MAGA in their profile, for example. People put together like a list of that, and then you can just like subscribe to that block list and block or mute everybody you see there. So it's really nice. Come on down to Blue Sky.
Okay.
I literally just made mine.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought I had one already, but I didn't. So
I'll set up an erasable podcast presence there. So I guess we still have an erasable presence on Twitter. I log into it every once in a while just to see if people are talking about the book or whatever. But yeah, so that's fun. Come do that. Blue Sky's fun. I think there's, at one point they're gaining a million new subscribers a day. So like they're up to like 20, 21, 22 million now. So that's pretty good size.
It's been a while since like, I mean, gosh. Yeah, remember like the last social network that actually took off?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like so much of it has been just like a secondary economy for when people are leaving Twitter in droves because of one reason or another, main reason being Elon Musk. But like, I think Mastodon gained a little bit more steam doing that, but not much, right? Like Mastodon's still kind of a niche and a little bit hard to get into, but Blue Sky is like a piece of cake, like it's like Twitter, so.
Next, I want to talk about something quick.
I guess, impulse purchase that I made on eBay, which I don't usually do. It's something I've never seen before. I didn't know this exists. And maybe, Johnny, you've seen this, but I bought, it's a little rundown. It's an old Eberhard Faber Permapoint, and it is a mechanical twist pencil.
Oh, neat.
That has a blackwing eraser. So it's, this isn't in great shape. Like, I need to find some way to like get this, like this ferrule. If you can see, this ferrule is like a little bendy, but what you're looking at is probably like it's that like old timey plastic that's like kind of yellowed and clear. I can't remember what it's called, acetate or melamine. I can't remember. There is a little like point that is twisty and it twists the inside, which like, you know, you can put a lead core in there. And then on the end, there's like the elongated blackwing ferrule with a little like a little black stripe. So I found out, interestingly, the Palomino blackwing erasers fit really well into it, just perfectly. So yeah, so this is a permapoint. I've never seen one. It was on eBay for like $40, and I just made an offer for like, hey, can I buy it from you for $25? They're like, yeah, sure. So they like instantly accepted it. So I don't know. I might like try to clean this up and reattach this eraser and find the right lead for that. But yeah, it's really nice. So been a minute since I bought an old pencil like that. Last thing I wanted to show, this is not really stationery related, but it's funny. And hold on, I'm going to put you guys in suspense for just a minute and take off my headphones. Hold on. Let's talk about the noise not here. Andy is too tall. His eyes are too brown.
This is...
So I got an advent calendar.
Every girl.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I got this advent calendar. And just because I'm a sucker for like alcohol-related advent calendars. And it is... Star Trek wines. And it is... There are 24. I did open one. I'm not going to be around much for like December. So I started a little early. And you have like all of these holes, 24 holes. And
in them,
there is, I'm just going to open a new one. You can open it up. And what I'm doing right now, by the way, I was holding up a huge box and it's really heavy. There are these like little 6-ounce bottles of wine. And they have like, this one has Quark from Deep Space Nine on it. And they're all like, broadly themed, like this is, it's a Pinot Noir from California. And you can read a little bit about the character that you opened. It doesn't seem like there's really like anything to do with the character on the wine. And it's like, it's fine wine. It's fine. And not, it's not fine wine, but it's okay wine. But yeah, I don't know why. I just like, I started getting ads for it on social networks, and I was just like, okay, Star Trek, great, wine, great, advent calendar, great, what's not to love? So I just bought it. So
can I interrupt? Speaking of advent calendars,
oh, you are that is a blur.
Is that the eighth one?
Turn off your background blur, and then if you are okay with that,
you don't want to do those.
Is it the advent calendar?
Yeah,
oh, it's out.
There it is.
It's blessed. Yes. Here.
Oh, no.
So cool. I keep meaning to do that, but I have not yet.
I feel like it went up. It was like 120 this year, but you get 25.
So on Christmas Day, since Santa doesn't come for grown-ups, we get rank.
So you get a whole bottle on that day instead of the little sample.
Do you get what? Like a nib that goes with it to like try it out? Or do you like, is it just the ink bottles?
Just ink.
Okay. Yeah.
But they're cute and they, you know, they all close tightly. They're all new. And last year they put a couple scented in. Like,
ooh.
Scented ink like bleeds a lot. But they did something called chameleon. So it was like shimmery and sheeny, but if you moved your head, it's changed colors.
Crazy.
It's new ways to get ink all over your hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, evidently there are a couple places are selling out already. So I don't know if they only sent, you know, a certain amount to stores or whatever, but. Get it.
Yeah. Nice. That is Star Trek wine closed out for me. So what else is there to say?
I don't know if I'd believe you if you hadn't put them up to look at.
Yeah. Like, it's just the weirdest thing. this company, I think that they have like deals with wine companies, and I think that they're probably all the same wines, but they do several different like wine themed advent calendars and different themes. It reminds me of that playing card company that like has like Star Trek and Star Wars and all the franchises. But wine. So Tim, how about you?
Yeah. So the first thing I'm going to do it. Yeah. So the first one is just like an idea I had, and it was something that I like, you know, we've talked over the years about various, like, and we talked about a lot with Roland about the handwritten manuscripts, you know, like handwriting and notebooks forever and like archives where you can look through handwritten things. And I was like looking through that stuff again recently. And I think it started because I went and I was trying to find those Hank Williams notebooks because the University of Alabama has his archives. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to like go back and look at those. And I was looking at some other things. And I think there was like some Hemingway things that I stumbled across somewhere. I just like realized this like feeling I have when I'm reading handwriting as opposed to when I'm reading words on a screen, words on whatever. It was like, it became this like awesome mindfulness practice. You're like, I swear it makes me feel better to read other people's handwritings. And I feel like it was one of those things that's like so obvious that it's a really stupid thing to say, but it's like one of those like super grounding things that makes you feel like more human.
If I may, like where you're like you're navigating people's handwriting and you're reading it and you're seeing something that people have touched.
You have to kind of get in their head sometimes because like if you are, you have to interpret their context. Like if you're not sure if that's a G or a J or something, and maybe you have to think a little bit about like what they were intending when they did that. So I can see it. You get in somebody's head a little bit.
Yeah. And also like what they're, I mean, it's different when you're reading a letter to somebody, right? That's like was for one person. And so like, that's also just kind of fascinating because you're like reading it from a perspective of not like, I'm going to publish a book, but you're reading it from a perspective of like, we're talking to a close friend of mine, or I'm writing in my journal and I'm trying to figure something out. Like that's it. And there's something about like the headspace you get into when you're reading manuscripts that I just find like super like relaxing and like encouraging sometimes, you know. Then you see some of the like, you know, I with song lyrics and all the stuff they cross out, you're like, you see somebody like, I don't know, it's just like it's turned into like yet another sort of like digital world antidote for me, where it makes me feel, that's just like, so I recommend it. If there's any right, and there's so much out there now where it's like writers that you enjoy, or you're really into Tolkien, or you're really into any other sort of like writer, especially older writers, like you're gonna be able to find stuff like online like a good bit. Archives are getting digitized like crazy now.
That's an interesting kind of like paradox there, right? Like the internet has made it easier to like access that stuff, which you can use as an antidote to the internet.
Things that I would literally never see.
Yeah.
Would never. I mean, it would be like a $2,000 plane flight and, you know, hotel room to see kind of this stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's good.
So that was one. It was just amusing. I wanted to share an amusing musing
that I wanted to share. And the other thing, which is kind of related, and I stumbled across it after our conversation last time we recorded. We were talking about the Scribe and talking about like handwriting recognition software and how like I can't use it because I write cursive and it's weird and it doesn't pick up. Well, I found this thing. Have you guys ever seen this Google Ink site?
Not until you posted the link. I've never heard of this. This was cool.
Yeah. So this is like from the Google like development team. And so there's this article that I ended up finding on the Silicon Review, which who knows what this is, but it
looks like a vape. It looks like a Google vape pen.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So it says it's going to alter how we handle handwritten notes by seamlessly translating them to digital text. And you can find, I think it was on a different link I was on, but they actually show it working in like a video. And it's actually like shows it like analyzing like cursive handwriting and like recreating it, which like was really mind blowing for being able to digitize stuff, but also to connect the dots, like thinking about reading people's handwriting to like imagine how easy a technology like that could turn into like having your own font.
you know, like your own handwritten thought, where you can like, even if you're, even if you have to email somebody, you could email them in your own handwritten thought, like would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and that just made me like, it is like, connect another dot. It like takes you back to like the Psalm for the Wild Built stuff, where it's like, that seems like something we totally would do in that book. Like the kind of thing they would have settled on.
But that we figured out it better for us. I love their little pieces of like
editorial, and they're like, they talk about their hand computers and they're like,
and you know, he's only had to repair his hand computer 5 times because they're well made and they are made to last a lifetime as it should be.
Which is like, you know, I think about how I buy a new iPhone every year. Like, it's like, oh,
less life. I mean, that's my dreams of my e-ink phone that can do everything. That's
But yeah,
so like, it's super interesting. I want to learn some more about it, because like, there's not a whole lot, but it's just, it's almost like they started to leak it.
Okay. Like, they're not producing this yet, right?
It's in development. Yeah. Because I was kind of surprised like that I couldn't find stuff on larger sort of tech websites. It was more like, I don't know, it's almost like they're trying to leak it out like here and there to just try to like get some exposure, but it's super interesting. And like, I want to know more about the actual like process of doing it. If it's just scan it and put it in, or do you have to use the little bait?
If anybody here works at Google and you want to connect us with the product manager for that, and so we can interview them on our show, like, please help us make that connection.
So that would be awesome. I'd love to see that. Cause this, I mean, I could get behind something like this, and especially if it's if it was a technology that could be like integrated in both things, like to a scan, if it was some little like, little doohickey, this little gadget this guy's holding in the picture, and I have to like scan every line, then that's a huge pain in the ass. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
There's no way I would see myself having the patience to do that. But like, it got me thinking about AI using AI tech, like powered technology to recreate handwriting and also interpret handwriting. It's super, super interesting.
That's interesting.
Like one of those things.
I feel like your Fresh Plants were just like totally opposite directions. You're like, there's something really slow and mindful and relaxing about like reading handwriting. And then you're like, let's use AI to interpret and recreate handwriting.
I closed the loop though. I was like,
Tim is a man of many thoughts.
It was like, I like reading these handwritten things, but I also like, what if I could email a guy on the handwriting? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Like people could actually search it, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that would be awesome.
Nice.
But that's all I got. Cool. So those are mine.
Maybe my weirdest Fresh Point.
But like, I was very excited about who it was.
Yeah. All right.
Anything else, you guys?
Yeah. It's nice.
Nice to see you guys faces.
Yeah, for real.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, button up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a reminder, we did do this on video, and we've had some visuals we've been showing during this. So if you want to be able to watch, you can support us on Patreon for as little as a buck a month to have access to Patreon bonus features. Johnny's up in the game here on the visual department.
Oh,
show you. I'll show you this. This is, I'm not going to tell them what it is. They'll have to see. There was this auction at my kid's school, and this is I got an autograph something, but I'm not going to say, from a very famous sports ball player from Baltimore that I'll tell you guys about after we finish up recording.
But
Johnny, this is some Baltimore royalty right here on this baseball.
Johnny has disappeared off screen.
No, I don't have a belt. Typewriter bill, that word. I gave it away. But we do want to thank our Patreon producer level supporters, especially thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. These are our producer level patrons. We have John Schroeder, Ellen, Max Tucker, Valerie Drew, Tom Keekley, Andre Torres, Paul Moorhead, William Modlin, John Capelluti, Stephen Frenzcal, Frank Solly, Aaron Willard, Dana Morris, Liz Rotundo, Melissa Miller, Angie, Millie Blackwell, Michael Giolosa, Hanna Feliz, Ann Seif, Michael Hagen, Chris Metzkus, Mary Collis, Kathleen Rogers, Aaron Bollinger, Ida Umpers, David Johnson, Phil Munson, Hans Noodleman, and John Wood. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are.
Johnny, hold perfectly still. I'm capturing. Here, do that again. I'm capturing our our album art for the episode.
I don't have as much as he does, but
I smell shampoo.
This is quite a look.
Next time we'll have smells.
Man, my hair is all short and I can't do anything fun with it.
Smell-o-vision. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to the Northwest Indiana 219 edition of the Erasable Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and find us on Patreon. Go to erasable.us/Patreon to support us. So thanks for listening and we'll talk to you soon. Do you like our podcast? Most people like our podcast. But if you don't like our podcast, David will turn it off.